Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline Barnett, and I am here with Dr. Vanderpool to talk a little bit more about COVID-19 and the implications that it's having in Haiti. So, Dr. V, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so as we know, COVID-19 was tested and has been seen to spread into Haiti as of March 19th, so about 2 weeks ago. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what that means and how that looks different than here in the United States.
You know, that's a great question. I think everybody is struggling in the United States to maintain the different levels that the government has put out for us, like staying 6 feet away from people, the quarantine, those kind of things. And it's difficult. It really is. It's challenging to do that. It's hurting people's jobs. It's hurting their incomes. And there's a lot of people really suffering in the United States from that. And that's really tough. But I want to take you just for a minute to Haiti and just to think about the challenges that the Haitians will have in this same kind of scenario. So the Haitian culture is one of groups, and so it's typically family groups, and they stay very close together. Many times they'll have 12, 14 people living in the same hut. Multiple family members and even people outside their family might be living together. In addition, they may have a grouping of huts in a village that may just be feet apart in the village. And so just think about the challenges of social distancing or physical distancing that will be present in Haiti. And so the Haitians are going to have a big challenge as COVID-19 certainly will increase in their country. So another thing that's going to be, you know, very challenging for the Haitians, another tenet of the just sort of fundamental public health tenet that we follow here is that we isolate people who have the disease. And so we understand that the disease is easily transmissible. It's very easy to catch from people. And so people who have the disease, we quarantine, we isolate those people here in the States. Well, that requires a couple of things. It's going to be very challenging in Haiti, one of which is the testing. There's almost no tests, COVID-19 tests in Haiti. Certainly, they'll increase somewhat, but there probably will never be enough tests in Haiti for people to be tested. And so, number one, people will have a disease. They won't understand what it is. They won't understand that it might be COVID-19. And then they may not be able to isolate themselves. Since they may share a hut with a dozen other people, there aren't very many places for them to go to isolate themselves. And so that's going to make a greater part of the population catch the disease, which is obviously one of the things that we don't want to happen. You know, a third tenet of our public health fundamentals is that we want to quarantine people who are at risk. And so we have identified populations in the United States who are at risk of complications from COVID-19. These are the elderly, people who are over 70 years old. Also people, though, that have other diseases like high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, cancer, things like that. We have found that those people are more susceptible to the COVID-19 virus. And so in Haiti, again, this is going to be a big challenge because many people don't even know they have some of these diseases. Hypertension is one in particular that is a silent disease, and people in Haiti just don't even realize they have it. And so being able to quarantine people who are vulnerable is going to be a real problem. And that really is, those are the three tenets of public health that we are implementing throughout the world to diminish the impact of COVID-19. And all three of these are going to be supreme challenges for the Haitians.
That's incredible to think about, that they already are at a disadvantage of defeating and protecting themselves against this virus. And the three things that are said, you know, this is important, they can't even facilitate that easily. My next question for you is, say someone in Haiti does have COVID-19, what does the medical healthcare structure look like in Haiti for someone who does have it? So can you walk me through kind of the hospital situation and how many beds do they have and ventilators and just different things like that?
You know, that's a great question. And it's one that is very scary as well. When you look at the United States, for instance, we have about 3 or so hospital beds per 1,000 population. And that's just inpatient beds. So you think about, in the United States, our culture is one that most of our surgery is performed on an outpatient basis. So we have all of these outpatient surgery centers. And those beds are not counted in this particular count. So we have about 3 inpatient hospital beds per 1,000. So right now in Dallas, we're running about 2% capacity of our hospital beds. So we've got 98% additional beds that we can use if more people get sick. So we have this huge excess of hospital beds right now. In Haiti, however, their ratio is about a fourth of ours. And so they have 0.7 hospital beds per 1,000. And honestly, that is way more than my experience of living down there for 7 years is. I can't believe they have that many. But the WHO really says that anything below about 2 is not going to have enough hospital beds to take care of just normal application. So Haiti is woefully short of hospital beds at 0.7. So if you get COVID-19, there are a percentage of people that have to go to the hospital. Most people, it's not a big deal. It's like the flu, and they get better and don't have any reason to go to the hospital. But there's a group of people who have the disease, and they get worse very rapidly, and they need a ventilator. Well, there aren't very many ventilators in Haiti, probably less than a dozen ventilators in the entire country. And so really completely inadequate for people who might get very sick. One of the things that is not really talked about as far as a risk factor for people getting the disease and then becoming worse is malnutrition. But certainly in many other diseases, malnutrition plays a big role in how poorly people respond to a disease. And certainly, even though it's not really been researched, certainly COVID-19 will fall into that category. Haiti has a tremendous number of malnourished people. And so the likelihood is, what we predict is, that their response to the disease is going to be very bad, and they're going to need ventilators, they're going to need ICU beds, those kinds of things for them to get better.
I think what's difficult for me is, you know, I've been keeping up with everything. My husband Connor and I have been, you know, isolating ourselves and doing social distancing, and, you know, it's been inconvenient, but we have plenty, you know, we have, you know, I just keep being so grateful. We recently moved to a townhome and we have a yard, so I can go outside and just sit in our yard for a while, and that's so nice. And so, you know, it's just, but it's so easy to get so caught up in me and how inconvenient it is. And, oh, you know, now I've run out of bread. And, oh, like, it's difficult to go to the grocery store and find bread, which you can make 100 other things, you know, and you don't need bread. But how selfish of me to be you know, sitting and thinking of myself when there are people in the United States that have it so much worse. You know, those who, you know, can't get groceries for their kids, or, you know, it just blows my mind. And then to think even on a greater scale than that, thinking about Haiti, and just, if I'm going to be blunt, the destruction that this can have, that it would just go through Haiti and it could just wipe out a massive population. And, you know, growing up with you and doing disaster relief work, you know, it was usually man-made or natural disasters that we would go and see, and we would, you know, we would see carnage of things before, and we can see just how evil people can be with slavery or with war and different things like that. But to see it from a disease, that is just, that's something that I've never seen before. I've never really had to think about, you know, you hear about like the Spanish influenza way back when and how awful it was, but to live through it now and to know that a country that I love so much, there's literally nothing that they can do, and then they are already at such a disadvantage to being able to help their population. That's just a very difficult thing for me to wrap my mind around. And
it really is it's a real problem. And, you know, the people typically are not well educated, so they don't understand germ type diseases and transmissions and things like that. And so, you know, life goes on. It looks the very same. It's sort of like here you go outside and it may be a bright sunshiny day and you don't see any threat, but it's out there. And communicating that to a culture, many of whom are not literate, is a challenge. One of the things that we've been very active in doing at our base in Haiti, we employ 91 people, and so we have taught them the social distancing is very, very necessary. We've put up posters that emphasize that. We've practiced with them so that they know that what 6 feet is or 2 meters is, and so that they know that they need to wash their hands a lot. Fortunately, we've supplied clean water to everyone in our area, and so they have water, but it's a little bit of a challenge to get soap, and finding 70% alcohol is very challenging as well. So we've practiced hand washing with the children and that kind of thing. And then if people are sick, you know, we don't have any tests for COVID-19 at our hospital yet, but we talked a lot with them about isolating themselves. And so they're getting this information from the Live Beyond Hospital, and we're very excited to be a part of that educational system in trying to help save the lives of Haitians in our area.
Just think about this for a second. It's so easy for us, you know, when I heard the, like, don't touch your face, I was, oh no, I'm in trouble. I feel like I'm constantly, you know, itching my nose or putting my hair behind my ears or whatever, touching my face. But, like, I can walk into how many bathrooms in my townhome? I have 4 sinks, including my kitchen sink, that I can go to and wash my hands. And if I really need to, there's even a hose in the backyard. You know, like, there's running water that I have. In Haiti, there's just not running water. And so you're going to go wash your hands in a stream that's not clean, that who knows what is in that. And like you said, I mean, out of all the times that I've gone into people's houses and things like that, I've never seen soap. Ever seen soap. And so, you know, even the powder that they use to wash their clothes with, you know, it's more of like a detergent. They just don't have that access. And it just, oh, it's so disheartening for me to think about that, you know, all the things that I take for granted, it's like they're, you know, if you're at a starting block and you're doing a race, everyone is at this front line, and Haiti and the rest of the third world countries are 20 feet behind you, and that's where they get to start from. And that's just not okay.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You know, especially when you think, you know, the things that our government is telling us to do, they're very good. It's very sound public health methods, and they work. These are the kind of things that have been tested for many, many years, decades, through many outbreaks like this. And so the things that we're being told, you know, by Tony Fauci and those guys, is absolutely correct. It absolutely works. We will see a big drop in numbers of cases, a big drop in deaths, if we can follow this. But unfortunately, in Haiti, they have none of that. And even the challenges that they have that they could even come close to following these different mandates, it would be essentially impossible for them. And so we're going to see sort of worst case scenario in Haiti. Now, they have completely shut their borders. They're allowing nobody in, either by air flights, shipping across the border, that kind of thing. And that's a good thing to do. That's very, very important. It is something that has to be done extremely early for it to be effective. And we know that there are about 16 cases diagnosed there in Haiti. And once those cases are there, the possibility of spread is there as well. And so it's going to be challenging. I doubt we'll see big numbers coming from them, big case numbers, just simply because they're not testing. And basically, COVID-19 looks like a severe pneumonia, which we see in Haiti all the time. We see severe pneumonias that have nothing to do with COVID, you know, on a routine basis. And so there really won't be any distinguishing features that we'll be able to ascertain that this is actually COVID-19 versus something else. So I don't think we're going to see big numbers, but we are going to see devastation. And that's what's so heartbreaking.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the last thing that we want to do is create fear of any kind. We feel very strongly that having faith in God and knowing that He provides and protects is number one, but two, also being educated and knowing things, it can keep you from being fearful. And so we really want to stand by that. But I personally feel like I have a fire lit under me right now. And I want to know, what are some things that we can do to help? How can we help those in Haiti? Is there a way that we can donate? Are there specific things that we can donate just to make sure that we can at least do whatever we possibly can to help those? Because, you know, if we're really going to get into the big picture of it, that's also, there are going to be food shortages there where there's already a food shortage. And, you know, so it's going to be very difficult to get proper nutrition. Markets are going to be closed, so farmers can't sell their ware, but that also means that people cannot get the food that they need. So there are going to be massive implications as well on an even bigger scale than just, you know, this illness, this disease. And so, you know, what are some things that we can, obviously, number one, pray. But other than that, what are some things that we can do? And also, what are some plans that Live Beyond might have for the future of how to help out in Haiti?
Well, you know, like you said, the number one thing is to pray for them, and to pray that the Lord will stop the spread of this virus, that will be completely arrested. And He is the great physician, right? So He is the one who heals us. And so praying that the God of all, the Lord of all, the great physician will stop this virus. It's nothing for Him to do that. I mean, that is no effort on His part at all. It's easy for Him. That's what He does, is He stops contagions like this. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we can do for Haiti, is to pray that they just have a hedge of protection around them, and that the virus just goes away, and that God gets the glory. You know, Haiti is a strongly voodoo culture, and so they worship Satan. And if we can pray that the Lord, the Jehovah Rapha, his name for being the great physician, will stop this virus and have the Haitians understand that the Lord God did that, then they will turn from voodoo and turn to the Lord. And so it could be an enormous impact on their salvation. And I know right now that everybody in the United States is worried about themselves. They're worried about their families. It's really difficult, you know, to think about somebody in another country. And I totally get that. And I want to be very sympathetic. At some point, probably fairly soon, certainly by May, I think that we're going to see the United States numbers starting to fall, maybe mid-May, 1st of May, mid-May. And at that point, I think that there'll be a big collective breath taken in the United States because we realize that we've implemented these correct procedures to get this disease away from us. And we can start thinking about others. And so as people come to that, and people will come to that realization at different times. Some people will come about that sooner than others. But as people come to that and feel comfortable with that, donating to Live Beyond, for instance, is a wonderful thing. We are shipping food into Haiti. We ship a container every 6 weeks, and so we are very aggressively attacking the malnutrition in this area. It is difficult to ship into Haiti just on a good day. During this outbreak, it requires an awful lot, and so gathering up soap and things like that doesn't really help because it's difficult to get it in. But buying soap in country does help. And so it's very easy for us. If somebody donates to Live Beyond, we can wire that money to Haiti and have soap bought that afternoon. And so that's the kind of response time that we can get. And that's going to be the same thing for other things. Hygiene oriented things probably are going to be the biggest first step until there's good medications and vaccines that can prevent this. But right now, I think monetary donations are the biggest factor right now. As soon as people become able to think about that, and I understand that's a real challenge, but monetary donations are going to be the biggest thing for us because we can use that money in Haiti the same day that we receive it and do good immediately. Live Beyond has a big presence in our area. We have about 200,000 people in our area, and we're the only functioning hospital right now. And so it's a big it's a challenge for us, but it's a real honor to be the one serving the Haitians at that time.
That's incredible. Well, whew, I think, again, this is a hard time for people. And my husband, Connor, and I, we're incredibly blessed that both of us are still working and both of us are healthy and young and our families are healthy. And so I know that the reality that we have right now is not a reality for most people. And so absolutely wanting to be sympathetic of what other people are going through, how hard this is, keeping aware of that and, really having the mindset and the heart to serve others, especially during this time. And so whether that is your elderly neighbors, if that is calling family, if that's taking care of people who are around you, if that's praying for people in Haiti, if you're in a position where monetarily you can donate, I just think that this is such an incredible opportunity to get to think about everyone in the world and not just what you yourself are going through. We always want to try and find the silver lining, I guess. but thank you so much for giving us this insight. And I know for me that this has been a difficult conversation for me to have with you, just because, I can't keep Ozyman from flashing in my mind's eye. You know, she's the one that I'm thinking about, or Pastor Sargess. You know, they're a little bit older, and I know that they have very full homes, and they're such pillars in the community, and they're such pillars in the Live Beyond family. And so these are just, those are kind of hard realities to think about as well. And the people that you love so much and so dearly. And so I will absolutely join you in praying for Haiti and for the rest of the world. And I invite everyone who's listening to also please join us in prayer. And if you, again, if you are able to make a donation, whether that's to Live Beyond or all the other incredible organizations that are around the world who are doing wonderful things, I encourage you to do that. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about Live Beyond, you can go online to livebeyond.org. There's a red donate button in the top right corner. It's very difficult to miss it. But thank you so much for joining us and for talking about this. I know it's hard, but again, we want to encourage people to not have fear, and to pray, and to look past yourselves in this instance. So again, thank you.
You bet. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I want to emphasize that the Live Beyond base is open and running. We have 91 people working full time, practicing their physical distancing, of course, 6 feet. We are feeding over 3,000 children every day, who otherwise would not get food. They can, even though school is canceled by the government, we bring the children in at different stages throughout the day, and we feed them, and then they take food home to their families, which is very important. We also, this is great, our teachers have elected to stay and work, so they're in their classrooms every day preparing lessons for the children to come by and pick up and work on at home. And so it's a fantastic opportunity. The kids are still learning. We can't have our school open because of what the government has mandated. But they're still learning. They're doing their homework. They're getting grades. And so that's going on well. Every other phase, the maternal health program is doing great. The ladies are coming. They're being fed. They're receiving medication for any of their illnesses that they have, and they're getting great education about how to raise a healthy baby. And so it's just wonderful to see all the activity that is still going on while still practicing these tenets of public health, the social distancing and talking about quarantining people who are ill and that kind of thing. And the people at Live Beyond, the staff members, are now going out into the communities and teaching others about this as well. So our community health program is doing extremely well and is really on the front lines in our area, teaching the people in the different communities, the different villages, what they need to do to prepare for COVID-19.
That's incredible. And to know that they still have job security, that they're still working, they're still able to provide for their families, that our kiddos are still getting food, that everyone's still getting food, and that our maternal health ladies have a place to come and receive all the care that they need, the maternal health care that they need. That's just, it's encouraging while still following the law and doing appropriate social distancing. So thank you for giving us that little update about what's going on with the Live Beyond base, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Don't forget to go online to livebeyond.org to learn a little bit more about us, and if you want, you can donate there. But more than anything, we just ask that you join us in praying that the Lord will cease the spread of COVID-19, and that he'll also put his hands of protection on Haiti, and that this will be an incredible time for people to turn to the Lord and to find rest in him. And so thank y'all for learning a little bit more about what's going on in Haiti with us, and don't forget to go out and live beyond.